Okay, welcome everybody, and it's great to be sitting around the table again with our Bibles. Well, not really our Bibles, all our electronic devices,
yeah.
Our iPhones, iTouches, laptops. Change days. Anyway, we're going to have a quick review of what we did when we were last together, because it has been 2 weeks, and I know that we get busy during those 2 weeks, and sometimes we forget what we studying the week before, so I thought we'd just have a quick review and look at some of the things that we did talk about. The series that we're in is called Serving the Redeemed, and this is the second part. And last time we really spent most of our evening doing some legwork as far as going into the Hebrew scriptures to understand a little bit more about what it meant to be a doulos, what it meant to be a bond slave. Really, we did that so that when we came together tonight, we could understand more fully what it means to be a doulos in the New Testament. So in order to do that, we did look into the Hebrew scriptures, and we looked at how bond slaves lived in that day and time in the physical realm, what that actually meant, so that we could understand that word. Because in our day and time, slavery is not something that any of us ever grew up with, and therefore it's a term that's very foreign to most of us, and it's a term that most of us cringe when we hear. So it was very important for us to go back and have a look and see what that word actually meant. Mm-hmm. If you remember from last time, we looked at Matthew chapter 20. This was really our theme verse, because we wanted to understand more fully what Christ was saying when he said that if we wanted to be first in the kingdom, that we had to be a doulos, a bond slave. And we'll just quickly read over that one again. It's in verse 25. Jesus called them together, and that was the 12 apostles, and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." And we looked at that word. It was diakonos, minister. "And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, doulos, your bond slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And we also looked last time that the context of Matthew 20 was to do with positions in the kingdom of heaven. Do you remember? It was actually the mother of Zebedee's sons that had come to Jesus, and she wanted one to sit on his right, one to sit on his left when he came into his kingdom. And he then said that was not his to give. And then he went on to explain that if you wanted to be first, that you would have to become a born slave. Mm-hmm. So that's really why we started looking at it. And we did see from the Old Testament lots of attributes of a doulos. And as far as I can see, there were only two reasons that God didn't want his people, the Israelites, to come under slavery. And the first one was that they were God's born slaves. They actually belonged to God. Because we saw in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 55, it says, "For the Israelites belong to me as servants." And that word servant is the one that we looked at, which was Eved, bond slaves. "They are my servants, my bond slaves, whom I brought out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." And the second reason was because they were all once slaves in Egypt, and then God redeemed them. That we found in Deuteronomy 15. In verse 12, it says, "If a fellow Hebrew, a man or woman, sells himself to you and serves you 6 years, in the seventh year you must let him go free. And when you release him, do not send him away empty-handed. Supply him liberally from your flock, your threshing floor, and your winepress. Give to him as the Lord your God has blessed you. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. That is why I give you this command today." So that's why God didn't want the Israelites to be bond slaves to each other in the physical realm, in the Hebrew scriptures, in the time that the Hebrew scriptures were written. Did anybody have anything they wanted to add from last time, or did you have any questions, or was there anything that particularly struck you you can remember? Okay, so tonight we're going to look at, in more detail, what it means to be a doulos in the New Testament, and what is our application for today, because as with everything that we learn in the Word, it's not just head knowledge, it's not just us sitting about reading our Bibles, doing word studies, and getting a whole lot of head knowledge that we can feel really good about that we're some sort of academic. It's not about knowledge for knowledge's sake. It's knowledge so that we in turn can apply it in our lives,
yeah,
and therefore live a more holy, a more pleasing life to God. Because
yeah,
that is the end result. We're all trying to strive day after day to make it into the kingdom. And we know that within the word of God, there are keys and there are things that we have to do in order to make it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we are studying. That's why we are searching the scriptures, so that we can find out how to do the will of the Father. And you don't know what the will of the Father is if you're not reading the words of the Father.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ spoke the words of the Father. And the whole Bible is God's revelation to us. So it's very important that we take different aspects, take time, and look at what we need to do, how we need to change our lives in
yeah,
order to live a pleasing life to God.
Yeah.
So we're going to start off by just looking at some of the basic definitions of bond slave, which is doulos. And I've written that in your notes so you can follow along. So doulos, and I actually wrote the Greek out for you so you can see what it looks like in Greek.
No.
If you're ever doing a word study and looking at the Greek, you'll recognise that. It's a bondsman, a bondsmaid, and it comes from the root word dio, to bind, a slave, originally the lowest term in the scale of servitude. So it would be a servant of all the other servants.
Yeah.
It would be the lowest person in the household, the lowest of the low. And we're keeping all these definitions in mind so that when we come to look at what it means metaphorically to be a bond slave, that we will understand it, because Christ is not telling us that we've got to give up our job and that we've got to sell everything and go and work as a bond slave. You know, he's not saying it in the physical realm. It's a
yeah,
metaphor.
Yeah.
This is the way we have to act. And the example of how we should do it is based on the bond slave or the bond slaves that they had in the Old Testament times,
mm-hmm,
and that word is transliterated into doulos in the Greek. It's also comes to mean one who gives himself up to the will of another. For example, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and this is just to give you an example of how the word doulos is used. And in verse 22, it says, "For he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's freedman." Now, when it talks about slave here, it's talking about in the physical realm,
mm-hmm,
a person that was actually working or living as a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's freedman. Similarly, he who was a freedman when he was called is Christ's slave, doulos. And then verse 23, "You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men." So because we were bought at a price, we belong to Christ. Because remember, a real bond slave in the physical realm would be bought at a market. So Christ is saying to us, we were brought at a price. And what was the price that God paid for us?
Christ's sacrifice.
Yeah, that's right. Christ's death and suffering. So do not become slaves, doulos of men. Okay, let's continue with the definitions of doulos. So it's a slave, a bondsman, a man of servile condition, a slave, and then metaphorically speaking, it's one who gives himself up to another's will, those whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing his cause amongst men, or someone that's devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interests. And when you think about the life of the Apostle Paul, you get an insight into how seriously he took the gospel of the kingdom.
Right.
He took his calling really seriously. And his calling radically changed his life. You know, after he was struck down on the road to Damascus, remember? And when he went blind, that had a massive effect on his life. He didn't just go home and think, oh, that was wonderful, you know, and now I know about the gospel of the kingdom. He really changed his life accordingly. And to call himself the doulos of the Lord, and Paul was a doulos, a true bond slave, it meant more to him than just using a term metaphorically.
Right.
You know, because it's an accurate description of somebody that had actually given up all his rights, all his interests, all his choices, all his dreams and ambitions. He'd given all of that up for the cause of the Lord. You know, he took it really seriously. He was devoted to doing the will of the Master. He was radical. But that's what it takes to make it into the kingdom. You can't be a passive Christian and strive to enter through the narrow gate.
Right.
You have to do something. You have to do something different. Because hearing the message of the kingdom requires a powerful reaction. It requires of us to react in a way that's going to change our lives. Do you remember when we did the series Count the Cost of Being a Disciple?
Mm-hmm.
We looked at some pretty radical verses. And among them, we looked at Luke 14, verse 26. And Christ said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Now, that's radical. And we know in that verse that hate means to regard as inferior. So everything else is inferior to you living according to the will of the Father. And that's radical living. And that's what happens when you're hit with the power of the message of the kingdom. It really affects your life. You don't just sit around passively thinking about it, talking about it, feeling great that you know it. It's not just a case of accumulating lots of knowledge, of learning Greek and Hebrew so that you can know more about the scriptures. It's about changing your life. It's about grabbing it and doing something about it. And that's what Jesus Christ demanded. And we saw that in that series of counting the cost of being a disciple. You have to count the cost. There's things that you have to be prepared to do. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, Christ said that since the time the gospel of the kingdom has been preached, everyone is forcing his way into it. It's something that we have to force our way into. The NIV says pressing into it. It's not something that you can have or just take passively. It's not enough just for us to sit around and pat each other on the back and say, "Wow, isn't it great that our eyes have been open? Isn't it great we can read and understand?" We have to live in a different way. We have to have a changed life. We all remember the teaching that Tony did. The gospel demands a changed life.
Yeah.
And part of that changed life is living as a servant, is living as a doulos, is being willing to be last and to allow everybody else to be first.
Mm.
I mean, I lost count the amount of times I sat in a women's church or women's fellowship and was taught that it's my time, it's my ministry, it's all about me, that I'm the one that's going to change the world, that I've got to take time for myself, that I've got to focus on myself. And that's wrong. It's not all about me. It's not all about my life, my ambition, my dreams. It's not.
Yeah.
It's about me doing the will of the Father. And sometimes me doing the will of the Father is the exact opposite of what I want to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't feel like doing it. Sometimes I don't feel like serving. But to be a true bond slave, it means that you are at the bottom of the totem pole.
Yeah.
You know, you are at the very bottom. So you are willing to live like that. You are willing to do the will of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes a change of life. How many people do we know that live like that? That's a radical reaction to hearing the truth about the gospel, because it's all about focusing on the Master. If you think about those bond slaves that we read about last time in the Hebrew scriptures, their life was all about serving their Master.
Mm-hmm.
And all they were interested in doing was whatever the Master wanted them to do.
Yeah.
That is why their eyes were always upon the Master. They were watching his eyes, they were watching his hand movements, because as we saw last time, he wasn't always going to give them verbal orders. Sometimes he might just snap his finger, sometimes he might just flick his eyes, and they had to be watching so that they could interpret these signs and know what he meant by them.
Wow.
So that is how we have to live, and we have to translate that understanding of doulos or bond slave into our understanding of doulos in the New Testament times. You know, it's becoming the great servant and willing to be last. And that's difficult at times. It's difficult to give up your rights and privileges to serve the Master.
Right.
It's about being willing to disregard your own life and lose it here in order to gain age-lasting life in the future. And there's an interesting section in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Christ says, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth." Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. "Don't suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Wow. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Wow! Isn't that different than what we hear at most churches today? Most people think that Christ's message was all about peace, about bringing peace.
Yeah.
Of motivating people to love each other, to love everybody in the world.
No.
Of spending time doing acts of kindness and charitable works and prospering and living the more than abundant life. But on the contrary, he taught that to enter the kingdom would require sacrifice and striving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that if you wanted to be his disciple, you were going to have to make some tough decisions regarding your family at times, regarding your friends at times. And that's why he said he came to bring sword.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knew that to really make it into the kingdom, you'd have to be actively, aggressively, forcefully seizing it.
Mm.
It wasn't something that just came floating by as you sat around talking about peace and love and joy and how wonderful it was to be a Christian. It was something that you had to grab hold of and be radical in your choices. Because today, to live according to the will of the Father is a radical decision.
Right.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a radical thing to do. And that doesn't happen. We can't seize it unless we change how we do things. And part of that is serving. And how many times do we hear that today?
Mm-hmm.
That you have to become a slave
in
order to be first in the kingdom. That we, if we want to be great, have to be ministering constantly. You see, we're the doulos. Our endeavour is to be the doulos or the bondslave of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
In a vertical way, if you think about it like that, in a vertical way. But horizontally, we manifest that by serving each other. So then we become the doulos of all, because we are, first and foremost, his bondslave. And part of his remit to us, part of our duty as his bondslave, is to serve each other, is to put everybody else first and ourselves last.
Yeah, that's right.
And if we do that, he said, then you will be first in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So it's more than just sitting about thinking, isn't it great that we've all had our eyes open and that we're all on the straight and narrow, so to speak. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power."
Wow.
It's not enough just to sit and talk about it. We have got to seize it.
Seize it and do it. Yeah.
You know, we've got to do it. It's a very powerful message.
Mm-hmm.
So in the same way, when we think about what we learned last time about the bond slave watching their master, we have to have that same intensity when we are finding out what the will of our master is.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to find out how we can best serve him. And to do that, we have to be in the scriptures. We have to understand his will in order that we can do it. We have to be willing to relinquish our rights and desires so that we can please and obey our master.
Yeah.
So I want you to go on and look at some of the attributes of a doulos in the New Testament. And Lisanne, if you're there, are you got your notes? Could you read Galatians 1, verse 10, please?
"I am not trying to win the approval of men or of God, or am I trying to please men? If I were trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ."
Yeah, and that word servant, I think I put that in your notes. every time that we use the word servant, and it is that word doulos, I've added that in. So Paul is saying to the church, the Galatian church, is saying, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I was still trying to please men, I would not be a doulos, a bondslave of Christ. So it's telling us that if we are men pleasers, if that is what we're trying to do in life, then we could not be a doulos of the Lord. We could not be his doulos, because you cannot, remember Christ said that you cannot serve man and God.
Yeah.
You know, you can't serve the world and serve God at the same time, because both are in direct opposition to each other. So you can't be trying to please people and say that you're a doulos, because if you are a doulos, you're pleasing your master. And to please your master, most of the time, won't please everybody else. Okay, Emily, if you'd like to read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 to 26. And this is Paul teaching Timothy what it means to be a leader, what it means to be a doulos.
Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant, doulos, must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, and not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, that they will come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will.
So there's some good points there as far as attributes of being a bondslave goes.
Mm-hmm.
Louise, do you want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13? And this is Paul talking about those apostles that were serving as doulos at that time.
Mm-hmm. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. I am not writing this to your shame. I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me.
You know, Paul must have been very confident in his walk with the Father. He must have been very confident that he was doing the will of the Father to urge those in the Corinthian church to imitate him. You know, that takes a lot of confidence to say that. Yeah. Imitate my life. When we go to Luke chapter 12, and we have some really interesting insight as the Lord is talking to his disciples about being a doulos. And he says to them, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. Do you have a mind picture of that? It will be good for those servants, those doulos, whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. Wow. I think I'd like to read that bit again. Verse 37. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, and will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. That is amazing.
Yeah.
What a reward for being a doulos is watching and waiting for their master. Verse 38, it will be good for those servants, those doulos, whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Mm-hmm. So we have to be constantly serving.
Yeah. Wow.
Because we don't know when the Lord is coming back.
Mm.
So without looking at the list that I've given you in your notes, don't look.
Oh.
From those verses that we've read, can you pick out some attributes of a doulos that we have seen, you know, going back from when we started at, where did we start? We started in Galatians chapter 1. So is there anything from there until that section that we learned, that we read in Luke? Is there any attributes that you noticed?
You don't quarrel.
You don't quarrel.
Be gentle.
That's right.
Be a gentle, you know, person.
You can look at the verses. I don't mind you looking at the verses. Not just the list that I've compiled. So we've got
pursue righteousness. Is that an attribute?
Able to teach.
Able to teach, yep.
Come to their senses.
Well, that's the other people that they're trying to reach.
Flee from evil desires.
Yeah.
And pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace.
Yep.
I am not trying to win the approval of men or of God. So basically telling you, are you serving for God or for men? So
yeah, so not a man pleaser.
Not a man pleaser and serve God.
Yeah. Yeah, you said not resentful, Louise, didn't you?
Yes.
You got that one, yeah.
Don't love your mother or father more than Christ.
Yeah. And what about Paul when he was talking to the Corinthian church? What attributes did he show that the apostles had?
Being able to endure when you were persecuted.
Yeah, they endured when they were persecuted.
When you're cursed, be blessed, yeah.
Yeah, when people curse them, bless them.
That's hard to do, yeah. Imitate him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I think the other one from Luke 12 is a doulos is someone who's prepared for his master's return.
Oh, right.
Preparing, yeah.
Yeah. And answer kindly when slandered. I don't think we said that one.
I said
And willing to work hard. Okay, so if you think about, if you really want to learn more about how to live as a doulos, then there's so many examples throughout the world, throughout the Hebrew scriptures and throughout the New Testament. If you look at the life of Abraham and Moses and David, read about how they lived and how they endeavored to do the will of the Father. In the New Testament, Paul, how he conducted his life. You can read about Timothy. And the interesting thing about Timothy was that he was a young man.
Right.
You know, he was young. He was a young person. And that, I think that's always interesting if you're also young. You can see how Paul edified him and how he encouraged him, the way that he instructed him. It's very interesting. He's always a really good character to read about. And he was a doulos, even as a young man.
Yeah.
You can also read about Epaphras or Epaphroditus, Peter, John, etc. in the New Testament. So there's lots of examples of people that are men and women of flesh, the way we are, that lived as bond slaves to the Lord.
Yeah.
And our ultimate example is Christ, of course. And we can read about Christ in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. It says, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing.
Mm.
What? Deity made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, and that's doulos. He took on the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself. See, that humility is closely aligned with being a doulos. He humbled himself, and he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Obedience, that's another attribute of a doulos, someone who's willing to obey his master. So Christ is our greatest example. And if we look in Colossians, we can read about Epaphras. Lisanne, do you want to read about him? Because he is also someone that's cited as a doulos.
Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant, doulos, of Christ Jesus, sending greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis.
Good, hard ones. Excellent. So look how he lived. You know, it gives us a little bit of an insight into how he lived as a doulos. I think Romans chapter 12 is very interesting too. When Paul talks to the Roman church and he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." You know, the more we look at the world and the worldly stuff, the more we conform to the world. But when we take our eyes off the world and we look at God's will, which is in his word, and we find out what his good, pleasing, and perfect will is, then that's when we're transformed, as we renew our mind, as we change our thinking to God's will, how to serve him. Then that is when we're transformed.
Yeah.
And that's when we can be a sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. Okay, so I wanted to look at some of the usages of doulos in the book of Revelation. And I know that there's so many books written about the book of Revelation. And the interesting thing is that, and did you know that unless you were a doulos, you will never understand the book of Revelation? Do you know why? Does anybody know why?
It's written
to them. Exactly, Louise. It is written to doulos, or doulos, because the book of Revelation, if you look at chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ." So this book, the book and everything that's contained in the book of Revelation, is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, his what? His servants, what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant, again, doulo, that's a singular, masculine singular,
yeah.
John. So the information that's contained in the book of Revelation was given by Jesus Christ to John, his bondslave, the Apostle John, his bondslave, via Christ's angel to reveal what was going to happen at the end times. And there's so many books being written about it, but you know what? You can write books till you're blue in the face, but if you're not a bondslave, you won't understand it.
Yeah.
Now, there's some things you can understand. You can understand words and sentences and sentence structure, and you can understand things that you read. But unless God opens your eyes and reveals what is written in that book to you, you won't understand it. And if you're not serving, you will never understand it.
Yeah.
So that's why at times when we read through it and we don't understand it, we have to at times ask ourselves, why don't I understand this? You know, am I reading it enough? Am I spending enough time doing that? Am I serving? But I wanted to go from the first chapter to the last chapter of Revelation. And I just wanted to show you a few verses that contain the word doulos. Because there is reward for living in this world as a bondslave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we live like that, and when we're endeavouring to do the will of the Father, and when we're endeavouring to live as a disciple, putting everybody else first and ourselves last, when we're putting aside all our selfish ambitions and our goals and our dreams and our aspirations, when everything that we are and have means nothing and is inferior to the will of the Father, it's not an easy way to live. Most of the world spend their time fulfilling their own desires, doing what they want, doing what feels good. Their flesh is pandered to in every way, in every sense of the word. And they have that feeling of comfort and that feeling of satisfaction in every aspect of life. And that is so opposite to how we're endeavouring to live.
Mm-hmm.
And at times, it almost feels a thankless task. But if you don't keep your head in the Bible and you don't read about the rewards that are to follow those that are endeavouring to do that, then you'll get so discouraged.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why we have to be reading, so that when we read it, at times your heart just burns within you because you read something and it really spurs you on and it makes you think, great,
mm-hmm.
I don't need the world. I don't need to experience all the things the world is experiencing.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you look around and you think, there's so much pleasure and we're turning our back on that.
Yeah.
Because, like we read earlier, we are trying to lose our life here so that we can gain age-lasting life at the time of the kingdom.
Yeah.
And I think that at times when it is hard and at times when you wonder, oh, what's it all about?
Yeah.
That you delve into the Word and you find what it's all about and you remind yourself
Yeah.
and you see the rewards that are set in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that motivates you to keep going.
That's right.
And in Revelation chapter 22, so this is John talking, obviously, verse 1, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants, douloi, which is plural, will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their forehead. Do you think everybody is going to see the face?
No.
No. And is everybody going to have his name on their foreheads?
No, the doulos.
No, it's the doulos.
And if you look at the verse before, verse 3, why it's explaining.
Yep. His servants will serve him.
Yeah. They will see. So they, the servants.
Yes, the servants will see his face. And the doulos will have his name on their foreheads. There will be no more nights. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun. For the Lord God will give them light. Yeah. And they will reign forever and ever. And the angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants, his doulos, the things that must soon take place. And then Christ speaking, behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the word of the prophecy in this book. In verse 8, I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, do not do it. For I am a fellow servant, a son doulos. I am a fellow servant with you. So he was a servant of the Lord, son doulos with you, and with your brothers, the prophets, and of all who keep the words of this book, worship God.
Wow.
I just want to go back to verse 3 again, where it says, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants, the douloi, will serve him. That is the privilege that you get for serving here, is that you will be able to serve our Lord there. You see, people in Christendom have this wrong image of what happens when they die, because they think they're going to heaven, and they think once they get to heaven, they're just going to be having a great time, they're going to be floating about, it's going to be some sort of paradise where they won't work and they won't do anything. But his servants will serve him,
right.
And they will see his face.
Wow.
And his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever.
It's funny how lots of people think that the sun's going to explode, and we're not going to have any light, and you know, it's the end of the world, and you think about how, you know, even though God created that, he is so much more than anything in his creation, you know, and he's able to provide.
Yeah.
There's no limit to his.
Because the creation. World as we know it, the heavens and the earth
That's
as
we
know it, will all burn up, and then we will have the new heaven and the new earth.
Yeah. And it's just crazy to think, like, the power in that, too. Like, you think about the power of the sun to give the whole world light.
I know.
Like, God can just provide that for us. Like, it's nothing, like it's just an everyday thing.
Exactly.
That's cool.
So Revelation is a great book. And we can't be scared of it. Can't be scared of reading it and thinking it's, you know, it's not understandable. It is.
Yeah.
But God doesn't give you all the understanding right away of anything in the Word. You know, we grow as we continue to live as His servants, and we can continue to grow in the Word and to draw close to Him and to be diligent within His Word, His Scriptures, and ask Him to enlighten us, then He will. But you can't have one without the other. You can't pray for enlightenment and then never read the Bible. Or you can't read the Bible and never pray for enlightenment. You know, these two things go hand in hand. So did anybody have any other questions or comments about what we've done or what we did last time? How do you feel that what you have learned over the last two sessions will help you in your everyday life? Is there anything that we've looked at that you feel now that you could apply to your life?
Just the things that we went through, the checklist. The things that we read out earlier, just kind of applying those to your life.
With that, do you mean like the attributes that we...
Yeah.
I also think, like, to know that when, you know, you're getting persecuted or when are coming at you, that we're to do the opposite. Like, we're to endure and to overcome that. And that's a thing that God is requesting us to do, and that will help us in...
Service.
And serving and being able to be in that group that actually sees face at the end, you know, like...
Hey, wouldn't that be worth it?
Yeah. To know that what we're having trouble with or things that seem to be difficult, that we're reminded that they're not for nothing, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point, Emily. We're not doing this for nothing.
Yeah.
You know, God will reward us, even though sometimes we feel that we're in such a minority and... Sometimes it's a radical lifestyle in that we're going against the grain of the world.
Yeah.
We're going against everything that our flesh feels that we should be doing.
Yeah.
And yet, in order to make it into the kingdom, we have to be able to seize it, you know, and not just think, oh, it's all coming my way anyway, just because. So that's a good point. Louisa, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, even from tonight's teaching, I found it quite encouraging. You were saying that all the people in the world look for all the things, you know, like to travel or career or to have materialistic things or to work for things. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's nice to know that what we're working to is something so much more than any of that stuff can give us, and that we don't need to feel the need to aspire, you know, to travel in the world or to do all these things before we're a certain age, that as long as we keep our eye on the will of the Father, that we don't need to feel like there's a gap in our life because we haven't done that stuff.
Exactly. And don't you think it's really strange that that's what the world tells you is what is expected of you as a young person, that you should be traveling the world and that you should...
Yeah, or, you know, being more well-rounded, you need to learn about culture and language. And that's all good, like, there's nothing wrong with that, but... Feels like, you know, especially in this generation, of a lot of people, what they're aspiring to be is just not really anything that great, or what they're working towards doesn't seem like it's that satisfying.
Yeah. And here's a radical thought. Instead of taking a year off to travel around the world just to become more well-rounded, why not take a year off and travel and share the word with people and go and visit people that you know that are redeemed and
exactly.
Be like a missionary.
Yeah, and you know, I don't want to sound like there's nothing wrong with doing those things, but I think for people that are really striving to be that kind of servant for God, that they don't need to feel that that is the most important thing in life, is to have all these things done before I'm 30 or...
What's your 5-year plan?
You know, and dreams and your aspirations, like, you know, what's your dream? What do you really want to get out of life? Or, you know, what is something that you really want to do for yourself, and don't necessarily have an answer for all that.
Exactly. Because that's just the world telling you that you have to have dreams, you have to have aspirations.
Yeah, you have to have that kind of drive, or you have to
you
have to really be someone, or
you have to be ambitious.
Great.
Making you imagine turning around and saying, I don't have any ambitions because my life is all about being a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ and doing His will.
Yeah.
How radical would that be?
Yeah,
it's funny, you've just got to be very careful that you're not allowing the world to put pressure on you because it's just worldly stuff that somebody somewhere has thought up and thought it'd be a really cool thing to do, to travel for a year.
Unless it's a redeemed person who put pressure on you to do something that is right for God, that's the different thing about you.
So our next meeting is on Tuesday, the 2nd of November. Wow, November. That seems a long way away. Can't believe it's almost November. Anybody want to close with prayer?
Lord, I thank you that we had the opportunity to sit here and be able to open up your word and just to delve into the scriptures and really get to see what it is to be a servant for you and to really sacrifice our life for you. I thank you for the words that you gave to Mom, that she was able to sit there and spend the time that she needed to in order to teach us and be able to make our lives better for you and for us to be able to see your will, Father. And I thank you for her life. I thank you for everyone in this room. I thank you for anyone that is listening online that is able to be blessed by the teaching and to be really exhorted in your word. And I pray for the redeemed people that weren't able to come here or able to listen to, that you can still work in their lives and be able to encourage them and give them strength when they need it, Lord, so that they are not distracted or deceived in any way, that they are living their life opposite to that, but they are able to be surrounded by people that really bring them up and strengthen them and remind them of you, Lord, and what you are doing for us daily. And I thank you for your grace and the mercy that you grant us every time that we ask for forgiveness for our sins. Thank you for that and just everything that you've done for us. And just that we were able to sit here and have our eyes open to the great truth that you have in your word. And I thank you for the rest of the night, that we enjoy each other's company and that we're blessed and we're able to walk in love. I pray for that in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Please.